All right, get ready because this deep dive, well, it's pretty out there. You sent us these excerpts from a book and it's like past lives and quantum physics and ancient Rome.
Oh, yeah, it's a fascinating mix.
I mean, there's even magic thrown in there.
Right. And the author's claiming they could access skills from past lives. Like a ton of them.
Over 100 different professions, they
Yeah,
say.
100. It's a lot. And they're using, well, they try to explain it all with quantum mechanics, you know.
So, like virtual reality in ancient Rome.
Yeah, and magic. It's a lot to unpack.
Okay, so let's start with, I guess, the past lives. Like, that's a big claim, right? That we've all got these skills and knowledge from our past lives.
And they call them pocket missions, ways to tap into those past selves.
And this author, one of their past lives was in ancient Rome.
Yeah, they say it was 43 BC specifically.
Wow.
And get this, they even talk about having all these coins that they minted with their name on them from that lifetime. Isn't that wild?
That's pretty wild. And what's interesting is they describe Rome as being like surprisingly advanced, indoor plumbing and technology closer to the 18th or 19th century. It really makes you rethink what we know about ancient civilizations.
It really does. You know, we always picture them as being so behind us. But what if they weren't?
So how are we supposed to access these past lives? They talk about these things called quantum couplers. What are those?
Well, they think that everyday objects, like coins, jewelry, or even spearheads, can act as these bridges to past life memories.
So like I could just hold a coin and it would unlock my past life.
Well, it's not quite that simple.
Okay, that's what I figured.
But they do think that photographs are especially powerful quantum couplers because they have, a direct link to the person or event that's in the picture.
Oh, that's
Yeah,
interesting.
they even say they used photos of Frank Herbert,
The Dune guy.
now the Dune author, to try to access his memories.
Hold on, accessing memories just from looking at a photograph? I mean, how is that even possible?
Well, they don't really get into the specifics of how it works, but they seem to think that these objects hold some kind of energy imprint, and we can somehow connect with that.
So it's like the objects are holding on to the memories.
In a way, yeah. They even talk about these things called wormhole photos and wormhole tattoos, like for instant connection to other lifetimes.
Wormhole tattoos. Okay, now this is getting a little out there,
Yeah.
but let's back up for a second. So these quantum couplers, are they saying that anyone can just pick up like an old object and suddenly have visions of their past life?
Well, no, they talk about the importance of like focused intention, and specific techniques
Like what?
like visualization and meditation
Yeah.
to sort of activate these quantum couplers.
So it's not just about the object itself, but like our own mental state.
Exactly, like how we approach it. It's almost like a form of active meditation, using the objects as focal points.
That's kind of interesting. So it's about creating this, I guess, connection between our consciousness and the object.
Right. And that helps us tap into, a deeper level of awareness. And the author believes, well, they think that this can unlock hidden skills and knowledge that we carry within us from our past lives.
Okay, I'm following. That's a pretty intriguing idea. That we all have this like huge reservoir of experience within us. We just have to find a way to access it. But what about the skills themselves? I mean, are we talking about remembering like how to ride a horse from a past life or something a lot more profound?
The author says it can be both practical skills and more like abstract knowledge.
Sure, like what? Give me an example.
Well, they claim to have accessed everything from gunfighting skills, from a past life in the American Old West,
Oh, wow.
to healing techniques from ancient Egypt. They even mention having memories of Atlantis.
Atlantis, I mean, come on, that's a big one.
I know.
But let's stick with the practical stuff for a minute. Like, if someone wanted to try accessing these past life skills using a quantum coupler, what would they do? Do they give like actual instructions?
They do give some guidance, although it is pretty esoteric. They talk about holding the object and focusing your attention on it, and like visualizing yourself in the past life associated with
So
it.
visualization is a big part of this.
Yeah. And they really emphasize setting clear intentions and being open to whatever experiences come up.
So it sounds like it takes a bit of faith too, but how do we know if what we're experiencing is actually a genuine past life memory or just our imagination?
That's a great question. And honestly, the author doesn't really address that. They just kind of assume that if you're experiencing something vivid and, emotionally resonant, that it must be a genuine past life memory. But of course, there's no real way to prove that scientifically.
No, I guess not. It definitely takes a leap of faith. But let's move on to another big idea in these excerpts, the connection between magic and science. The author seems to think that they're not, like, mutually exclusive.
Right, like they're not opposites.
They even link magic to quantum mechanics.
Yeah. They specifically talk about entanglement, you know, that thing where two particles are linked no matter how far apart they are.
Oh, yeah.
They seem to be suggesting that magic works in a similar way, like that we can somehow influence reality just through our focused intention and by, you know, manipulating energy.
So they're not talking about, like, pulling rabbits out of hats. They're talking about a more subtle kind of magic, something that works on a deeper level.
Exactly, like maybe a quantum level.
Okay, that's pretty interesting. So they describe magic as a way of tapping into these unseen forces and influencing reality in ways that science just can't explain yet.
Right, and they even go so far as to describe the Space Guild, and it uses specially bred...
Spacebenders.
Yes, spacebenders to travel between dimensions.
Spacebenders. That sounds straight out of Dune.
I know, right? Like, what if science fiction is actually closer to reality than we think?
Whoa, that's a trippy thought. Okay, so we've got past lives and quantum couplers and a little dash of magic. It's a lot to take in. Before we jump into the specifics of those pocket missions and what this author claims we can learn from them, I think we need to step back and consider what all of this means, you know, for us.
Yeah, absolutely. What if all of this is true? Like, could we really access skills and knowledge from our past lives? And is magic just a more advanced form of science? And what about, you know, the ethical considerations? There's so much to unpack here.
All right, let's get unpacking.
So those pocket missions you mentioned, well, it seems like they're the author's way of making all these ideas, you know, about accessing past life skills practical.
Okay, so they're like, what, guided meditations or exercises or something using those quantum couplers we were talking about.
Exactly. They give instructions on how to use, you know, objects or images, even tattoos, as focal points to connect with specific past lives and the skills associated with them.
So let's say I want to be a better public speaker. I could use a quantum coupler connected to a past life where I was, I don't know, like some kind of charismatic orator.
That's the idea.
And they've got missions for all sorts of things.
Yeah, all sorts.
Like artistic abilities and survival techniques. I mean, there's even one that connects you with a past life in the American Old West where you can supposedly learn gunfighting skills. Gunfighting skills. That's a little intense.
Yeah, it is.
But it does make me wonder, how do we know if what we're experiencing is like a real past life memory or just our imagination making things up?
Right. That's a good question. And the author, well, they don't really give any hard evidence to back up their claims. They mostly just rely on like stories and people's own interpretations of what they experienced.
So like I said, it takes a bit of faith.
It does.
But even if we just, you know, say for a minute that these past lives are real, can we actually learn things from them, like real practical skills?
Right. And that's where it gets really interesting, I think. The author seems to believe that these skills are like imprinted on our soul.
Okay.
Or our consciousness or something. And that we can access them if we use the right techniques. They describe it as like remembering something you already know. Not learning something new.
So it's like the skills are already in there. We just have to unlock them.
Yeah, something like that.
But wouldn't that mean we should all be like super talented?
That's a good point.
I mean, if we've lived all these past lives.
The author, they don't really explain why we don't all have access to this, you know, huge amount of past life knowledge. They do say that some people are just like more in tune with these memories than others.
Okay, so some people are better at remembering.
Yeah, and that it takes, you know, practice and dedication to really develop the ability to access them.
So it's not as easy as just picking up a coin and suddenly remembering how to, I don't know, speak ancient Greek or something.
Right, exactly.
It takes work.
It does. Yeah. And it also brings up the whole question of free will.
Oh, yeah. Like, if we're just remembering skills from past lives, does that mean our choices aren't really our own?
That's a big question.
Okay, but let's get back to the pocket missions. Do they all involve these quantum couplers? Or are there other ways to access past life memories?
They do mention other techniques, like using specific visualizations or mantras. They even talk about a space guild that uses specially bred.
Wait a minute, the spacebenders.
Yeah, the spacebenders. To travel between dimensions.
Hold on, didn't they talk about those before when they were discussing magic? Are these spacebenders related to those wormhole photos and wormhole tattoos?
You know, it's not really clear. They kind of jump between these ideas without fully explaining how they're all connected.
I see.
It's almost like they're suggesting there are all these different paths to, you know, reach these other realities.
Okay, so quantum couplers, special techniques, and even genetically engineered beings.
Right. It's a lot to take in.
It really is. And we should probably remind everyone, you know, we're talking about some pretty out there concepts.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, they don't give any scientific proof or anything. It's mostly just based on anecdotes and personal experiences.
So healthy skepticism is key here.
For sure.
But even if we don't take all of this literally, it does raise some interesting questions.
It does. Like, what if we could actually access skills and knowledge from past lives?
Yeah.
What would that mean? You know, for what we think is possible, what we think about human potential.
And what about how we grow and learn as people?
Right.
I mean, is the author just telling us a story? Or are they trying to, you know, point to something deeper, something about consciousness and how everything is connected?
I think that's what makes these excerpts so fascinating. They really make you think outside the box and consider all these possibilities that seem kind of crazy at first.
Yeah, like they're inviting us to, like, explore the unknown. But before we get too lost in the unknown, let's take a closer look at their claims about magic.
Okay.
They seem to think that magic isn't just, you know, tricks and illusions, but a real force.
A real force.
That can be used for, like, healing and transforming yourself.
Right. And they connect it back to quantum mechanics, suggesting that magic, you know, might actually operate through energy fields and entanglement.
Well, like a scientific explanation for magic.
Yeah. And they even provide a list of specific magic tricks they say can be used for healing and stuff.
Magic tricks for healing. Now, that's something I haven't heard before. But before we get into all that, let's give our listeners a minute to, you know, absorb everything. All right, let's jump back into this. You know, we've talked about past lives, quantum couplers, even that space guild with the space benders. Now, this author, they're talking about magic. And not just illusions either, like real magic.
Yeah.
Especially for healing.
Yeah, it's really something. They think that what we call magic might actually be, you know, like quantum mechanics and manipulating energy.
So not like pulling rabbits out of hats or anything, but like a connection between magic and like actual physics.
Right, exactly. And they even list these magic tricks and they connect them to, you know, stuff like quantum entanglement and energy fields.
Can you give me an example?
Sure. Like they describe one where salt vanishes and reappears. And they link that to, like, dissolving negative energy.
Wait, so a magic trick can actually dissolve negative energy? I mean, how?
Well, they think that by focusing your intention and manipulating energy with these techniques, it creates a resonance. And that promotes healing.
So it's not about tricking people, but, like, tapping into something real.
Yeah, like a deeper level of reality.
So our minds, you're saying, could have the power to actually change reality.
Well, that's kind of a theme throughout this whole book, you know? Yeah. They really believe that our consciousness is connected to, like, the fabric of reality.
Okay.
And that if we understand how it all works, we can do amazing things.
But how much of this is, you know, based on evidence and how much is just, like, belief? I mean, they mentioned that Space Guild and the Space Benders traveling between dimensions. It's a little hard to believe, you know, even for us.
It does push the limits, that's for sure. And they don't really offer any proof. It's mostly stories and, you know, what people have experienced. But they seem to think science is just scratching the surface of what's possible.
So maybe it's more about, like, being open to new ideas.
Yeah.
And challenging how we see the world.
Yeah, I think that's a big part of it.
Mm-hmm.
They're encouraging us to question things, to explore, and to think that maybe reality is a lot more mysterious and connected than we realize.
It's a powerful message, even if we don't buy into everything they're saying.
Well,
it's about keeping an open mind, being willing to look at things differently.
Right, and it's important to think critically.
Right.
Like, we can explore new ideas without just believing everything.
So it's about finding that balance, being skeptical but also open-minded, question things, but also consider new perspectives.
Exactly. And that's important, not just with, you know, all these unusual ideas, but like for everything in life.
Well, that's a good point. We've definitely covered a lot. Past lives, quantum couplers, even magic and interdimensional travel. It's been quite a ride.
It has. And even if we don't agree with everything, they've definitely given us a lot to think about.
They've made us question what we think is real and how everything is connected. And what we're capable of.
And maybe that's the best part of all this. Whether we believe in past lives or magic or whatever, it's about exploring and being open to the mystery of it all.
Well said. Thanks for coming along with us on this journey through, you know, all these quantum possibilities and unconventional wisdom. And remember, keep exploring, keep asking questions, and keep your minds open to all the amazing things out there waiting to be discovered.